Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Ooh, doggy. First back deck rip of the summer. Birds are chirping. Construction a couple of blocks away. Hopefully it doesn't ruin the audio experience for you freaks, but had to rip it. Matthew, how are we doing?
You know it's summer when you get the birds chirping and the random fire truck coming out of Marty's mic.
Yeah, that'll be coming at some point. That'll be coming at some point. The island is packing up. It's Thursday afternoon here on the East Coast. Everybody starts to mosey down the shore this time. Summer rips are great, the gig. It'll be a pleasure for you freaks to know that I'm the only one with access to the Zap.stream live chat. Matt cannot access it on his phone or his desktop.
I have it. I see the gig said summer rips are great. Looking forward to Marty's neighbor mowing the grass.
Okay. Brian is not down yet. He has not started mowing the grass, and it looks at a good height right now. So I don't think we have to worry about that today.
It was probably one of the best RHR moments ever. It was when you went over and told him you'd mow his grass for him afterwards.
I'll do it after.
So there's a ride or die freak, Phil. who keeps track of the timestamp when we actually start the topics. And it kind of triggered me a little bit. So you want to just, let's just jump in Clark's dashboard.
No, we're not going to let Phil dictate the show. We're going to riff a little bit and we'll dive in.
You said it was 6 minutes and 40 seconds less.
That's fine. Week. We gotta ease into it, Phil. Is he just observing or is he critiquing? Maybe it's just an observation.
Logan,
don't jumpstart us to the dashboard yet.
I actually wasn't. I was going to pull up because I do no. have a moment somebody mentions it in chat.
Yeah, Marty is not zapped today.
Yes, I have. It's UTC time. I zapped 2 hours ago, and now or whatever time zone this guy's in.
The website doesn't lie. Who'd you zap?
Somebody responded to the bent this morning. Two people, actually. You can go check it. I zapped 6 hours ago.
I'm glad we're covering the important stories.
5 hours ago. Wasn't even 6 hours ago. All right. Logan. Pull up the Clark's dashboard if we're in such a hurry to get to it. The current price of Bitcoin is 65,160 cuck bucks. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,535 sats. We are currently at block height 848,781. We had a difficulty adjustment yesterday. It was flat. I believe it was a negative difficulty adjustment of 0.1% rounded up. We are currently 1,971 blocks away from the next adjustment. Not a lot of blocks have come in since the last free target. So take this estimation with a grain of salt. The next difficulty adjustment is estimated to be a negative 10% adjustment. Blocks been coming in at 11 minutes and 12 seconds on average since the retarget yesterday. And yesterday's retarget was a bit of an anomaly. Not only yesterday's retarget, but the previous retarget. It was only the seventh time in Bitcoin's history that it has back-to-back difficulty retargets that were less than a percent. So that's a fun fact for you freaks who are difficulty adjustment nerds. The hash rate has been relatively flat over the last month, and this has only happened seven times in Bitcoin's history. Actually, probably post 2012 or 2011 or 2010, actually. Post 2010. There were very few difficulty adjustments in the early days because there wasn't that many people on the network. What are you laughing at?
Weirdo Robot in the Nostr chat. By the way, the Nostr chat you can get to by rhr.tv/stream. It's hosted on Zapstream. Great project. Weirdo Robot, the maker of has Marty zapped today, takes offense to you calling him this guy. He shook your hand while you were drunk. Marty, come on, man.
I didn't notice it was you, Weirdo Robot. I didn't know that you were the guy behind has Marty zapped today. You may want to go fix your product because it's telling people lies. Guy, huh? I'll start calling you buddy. Guy.
Marty's like mentally putting it inside. He's like, okay, no zaps for a Weirdo Robot. Don't worry. I'll pick up where Marty leaves off.
Great and I project. Did leave off the dashboard going after the difficulty adjustment. There are currently 155,577 transactions in Clark's mempool. Go over to mempool.space. There are 216,472 transactions. Current mempool, not too busy. 24 sats per V-byte will get you into the next block. It's about $2.19. And if you have a low priority, you can put an 18 sat per V-byte transaction fee on your transaction. That is a state of the network.
Anything over 10 will probably clear. There's a little bit of a bidding war at 10 sats per byte.
Yeah. That being said, you don't have it on the list, but we should talk about it. The interest expense on the debt has officially surpassed the amount of money the U.S. spends on defense per year, which is a pretty big milestone. There are now currently only three expenses above the interest expense on the debt right now, and they are all
double speak, Marty.
What?
Defense.
Defense, yeah. That is true. Good call out there. That is double speak.
You know, we used to call it the War Department and we switched it to the Defense Department.
Yes. Language. It's important propaganda.
You fell for the side.
Yeah, I fell for it. But standing ahead of the interest expense on the debt in terms of the large expenses that the U.S. government pays month in and month out, the only things that are above it now are Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, all three being Ponzi schemes. And the debt expense is essentially a Ponzi scheme too. And a lot of the War Department is funded by debt as well. So there's debt all the way up. We are in the late stage fiat melt up, if you will.
Mandibles. And Bitcoin.
Yeah. But Logan, if you want to pull up the newsletter I wrote this morning, Luke Roman was citing, I believe it's Ferguson's Law, Niall Ferguson, prolific author and historical commentator. He highlights that any great power that spends more on debt service, interest payments on the national debt, than on defense will not stay great for very long. This has happened in Habsburg Spain, ancient regime France, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, the Roman Empire. The moment at which you start paying more to service the interest on the debt that you've accrued as a nation than the amount you spend on defense is a critical moment, and the U.S. has officially crossed that Rubicon. So beware, freaks, mandibles.
You haven't read it.
Yeah, I know. I have. It is a great book. Everybody should read it. It's happening right now.
I love it. I mean, I'll take it. It's a win. You're just saying it's a win.
Yeah.
We're living it, freaks. Good thing we got Bitcoin.
Beware.
So what I put on the top of the list was not that.
No.
The EU, the politicians in the EU are continuously trying to backdoor encryption while also doing carve outs so that their own encrypted chats are not backdoored because they do understand the risk. They realize exactly what they're doing, and it's not actually to stop crime or stop terrorism or stop whatever they're pretending they want to stop. It's to control individuals and to know exactly what you're thinking and what you're discussing at any given time, which is incredibly disheartening. I will say on a positive note, it seems that they didn't have enough votes to pass it today. So they've delayed it until the next session. But I have in the list, I have Meredith Whitaker, the CEO of Signal, released a short blog post about it. And regardless of what you think of Signal, I think Signal's awesome. I think it has a very clear trade-off balance, but provides pretty strong privacy guarantees and very easy to use, low friction, so that hundreds of millions of people actually use it rather than encryption projects that have different trade-off balances, right? Like Signal aims to be as easy to use as possible. I got my grandma using Signal because she wants baby pictures. She's never going to use PGP. But anyway, their leadership in terms of speaking up against this stuff is amazing. She is doing a great job. The Signal Foundation in general is doing a great job. And Marty, I was hoping you could read just the last paragraph. I'm not going to make you read the whole thing, but that last paragraph bold in it, I thought would be important for you to highlight.
That's the second to last paragraph. I'm actually going to read two paragraphs because the paragraph above that
is really
in line with what we were discussing at the beginning of this show, which is the manipulation of language to try to make things more palatable. So here we go. Instead of accepting this fundamental mathematical reality, some European countries continue to play rhetorical games. They come back to the table with the same idea under a new label. Instead of using the previous term, client-side scanning, they've rebranded and are now calling it upload moderation. Some are claiming that upload moderation does not undermine encryption because it happens before your message or video is encrypted. This is untrue. Rhetorical games are cute in marketing or tabloid reporting, but they are dangerous and naive when applied to such a serious topic with such high stakes. So let's be very clear. Again, mandating mass scanning of private communications fundamentally undermines encryption. Full stop. Whether this happens via tampering with, for instance, an encryption algorithm's random number generator, or by implementing a key escrow system, or by forcing communications to pass through a surveillance system before they're encrypted. We can call it a backdoor, front door, or quote-unquote upload moderation, but whatever we call it, each one of these approaches creates a vulnerability that can be exploited by hackers and hostile nation states, removing the protection of unbreakable math and putting it in its place of high-value vulnerability. We ask that those, we're just going to finish the whole thing there. We ask that those playing these word games please stop and recognize what the expert community has repeatedly made clear. Either end-to-end encryption protects everyone and enshrines security and privacy, or it's broken for everyone. And breaking end-to-end encryption, particularly at such a geopolitically volatile time, is a disastrous proposition. Great words.
Cheers to that. Well said.
Shout out to Meredith. She crushes it. Yeah, word manipulation. Upload moderation. Don't worry, it's just a little upload moderation. It's all we need to inject in your app, okay? It's not a back door. It's not a front door. We're just moderating here, okay? Think of the law enforcement. We learned this last week. You have to base everything that you build with law enforcement in mind. How can you make their jobs easier? And law enforcement has never been known to single out individuals, companies, for perverse incentives, political prisoners, political, what's the word I'm looking for? People who speak out against politicians and governments have never been targeted, political targets. That's never existed before. You don't have to worry about that. They're just going to get the bad guys. They're not the baddies. The baddies are out there, and they need their content moderated. Before and I guess
they have a carve out for themselves, which says all you need to know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mab21, Ride or Die Freak, 21,000 sats zapped in the Nostra live stream. Appreciate you.
Shout out to you.
It doesn't go unnoticed.
It's not like any of these law enforcements have, like, you know, teamed up with Jeffrey Epstein to blackmail politicians to help him launder money, launder people across the world. Yeah, the president of the United States may or may not have had treasonous relationships with countries like Russia, China, Ukraine. May not or may be known as the big guy to some people out there. But no, we need to spy on everybody because we need to make their jobs easier. It is getting laughable. Shout out to the EU Parliament for holding back this content moderation. But let's not hold our breath. This is a fight that never ends, so it will continue, and we'll be here to cover it when it does continue. Staying in the EU and staying on speech, this is separate from the Signal thing, but this is the same story. I'm reading the same story.
Yeah, no, I put three links. I put three links to the same story because it was like updated. Like one was they're going to vote. One is that they postponed the vote. And the other one is Signal's statement on the matter.
Yeah.
Because I would say once again, like they've taken incredible leadership and it's a hard topic, you know. You know, they like bring her on live TV and they tell her what, like, oh, how do you feel about child porn? And she has to like fight all the gaslighting on live, unedited, hostile media.
that's the depths to which they have to stoop.
Yeah.
Is to say that if you do not agree with the content moderation, you are an advocate for child pornography. It's truly disgusting. Both the insinuation and the actual child pornography. It's
exactly. So thank you, Meredith. And the EU politicians can go fuck themselves.
You got it in. You got it in. This is pretty serious. Back to the world of Bitcoin specific. LND versions prior to version 0.17.0 are vulnerable to an LND onion bomb denial of service attack. So this was disclosed earlier this week. I believe it was after an announcement two versions ago that highly recommended that everybody update and that a vulnerability would be disclosed in the future. Well, the future has come and passed, and we know what the bug is now. So apparently there was a... An onion routing bomb that would allow a malicious actor to basically DDoS your node, take it down, and then drain the channel without you being able to get your the justice transaction sent to the mempool.
Yeah, it was extremely cheap DDoS vector. I do not think LND, the LND team, said that there was a vulnerability. I think they quietly patched it and waited a year to disclose it. After it was responsibly disclosed to them by Matt Morehouse. I know there's some people in the industry that think it was handled poorly in terms of disclosure timeline.
Tony's not very happy about it.
Yeah, funds. Well, I wasn't going to name him, but funds. Public. Funds are at risk with any of these kind of vulnerabilities. If you can knock down the Lightning node, if you can knock down someone's Lightning node at will cheaply, then you can do a whole variety of attacks. So not great. If you have updated your Lightning node, your LND node, which is what the majority of the network runs, it's like 80, 90% of the network probably, in the last year, you're good. But this is another example about, you know, we live in this weird dichotomy where with Bitcoin Core on the protocol level, you shouldn't rush to update. Updates can be a security hole. But when you're dealing with hot wallets and Lightning, and a lot of this stuff is on the edge still and very new, you do want to take, you know, that calculated risk and update more frequently. I will say that Matt Morehouse is an OpenSats LTS grant recipient, so a long-term support grant recipient. He does a lot of fuzz testing and other kind of testing on the network. And this is a perfect example of why why that program exists. And I'm glad he's out there doing this necessary testing. I mean, he said in his disclosure, he's like, it didn't take me that long to find it. Like some basic fuzz testing would have exposed this. So we have to assume that malicious actors are doing this, especially as Lightning becomes more successful and more money is held on Lightning nodes. So it's important that we have white hats, that we have, you know, people that actually care about Bitcoin and care about Lightning success and care about freedom money, testing these things out and pushing them to their limits, making them as secure and robust as possible.
Shout out to Matt Morehouse. Shout out to you too, Matt. But be aware, if you're running an LND version below version 0.17.0, you are susceptible to this attack. And like Matt said, Matt Morehouse said it's not difficult for an attacker to beat the garbage collector. In my experiments, I was able to consistently crash nodes with up to 128 gigs of RAM in just a few seconds. So even if you have a shit ton of RAM, you're still vulnerable. So beware. Next up on the list, we have a new segment on the show, the Human Rights Story of the Week, brought to you by our friends at the Human Rights Foundation. Should be in the middle. And this week's story comes from Nigeria. So in Nigeria, it has 20-year inflation high burdens Nigerians in May. So Nigeria's annual inflation rate surged to a 28-year high, reaching 33.95%. It is driven by soaring food prices and a weakened naira. Economic reforms, including subsidy cuts and two naira devaluations by President Bola Tinubu, have further exacerbated these inflationary pressures in a bid to control inflation and quell further social unrest, the Central Bank of Nigeria raised interest rates for the third time this year. The country's authoritarian regime continues to close exit ramps, continuing to put restrictions on citizens' use of dollars, Bitcoin, and stablecoins in this repressive environment. It's no wonder that Nigerians continue to come up with ways to fight back. A few days ago at the Oslo Freedom Forum, Nigerian developer Abubakar Nur Khalil announced the Volt Wallet, a new non-custodial open-source Bitcoin wallet designed to meet the needs of Nigerians navigating a restricted digital economy. So this is brought to you by our good friends at the Human Rights Foundation. And yeah, Nigeria, they've had a bad go of it the last few years. If you don't recall, they attempted to take banknotes out of circulation and issue new banknotes. That was a terrible experience. It led to long lines at ATMs, and eventually, ultimately, I think they did get notes back in circulation, but there was a period there where the economy in Nigeria did not have banknotes. They pulled in India from 2020 or 2019, whenever India did that with rupees. And on top of that, the SARS movement, the women's movement in Nigeria, they cut off their bank accounts. Luckily, BTC Pay Server was there for that movement. They were able to accept Bitcoin payments. But since then, the government has recognized Bitcoin as a viable alternative to their hyper-controlled monetary system and has acted in every way in which they can to prevent people from accessing Bitcoin, whether that be shutting down exchanges, making it illegal to use Bitcoin. The fight's on.
Yeah, I mean, Nigeria is also one of the few countries out there that has a CBDC out in the wild, their e-Naira. Something to keep in mind, keep track of. We talk about Mandibles all the time. Like, Mandibles is already happening in Nigeria and other places in the world, which is one of the reasons why this story was selected. But it's a selection from HRF's Financial Freedom Report, which you can subscribe to at hrf.org/financial freedom report. Great newsletter. Their team does a really good job. And I look forward to highlighting more of these stories, because I think, you know, part of the reason why I've worked with the Human Rights Foundation for over 5 years now is because this is why our work is so important. I like to think that many of us out here are working towards trying to make freedom money the standard. And these people are, you know, they're on the front lines fighting for freedom every day. A lot is at stake. The tools need to be better. The tools are already much better than where they were 5 years ago, but they need to be better yesterday, because these people are already living through Mandibles, and many billions more will live through Mandibles before we get to a Bitcoin standard. I do want to extra highlight Abubakar's project. The dude is a fucking legend. He has this new project called Volt. Right now it's an Android-focused open source wallet. I think he wants to release on iPhone as well. It's in beta. But you should definitely check it out, particularly if you're an open source contributor. He's, you know, looking for help on it. But self-custody first wallet, PSBT is a standard, using NFC for hardware integrations. Really cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up here. Abubakar. There it is. Here, Logan, pull this up. It's got like a very Blue Wallet-esque UI, which I like. I like Blue Wallet's UI. The key features is a descriptor-based HD wallet. It has a Bolt card and Bolt ring, LNURL withdrawal functionality. You do watch-only support, PSBTs, and fee bumping via RBF are available as Lightning Network support, internet wallet, Lightning swaps, on-chain Lightning. It's multilingual. So yeah, actually scanned the QR code from his presentation at the Freedom Forum and checked out the GitHub. I do not, that should be linked in this No BS Bitcoin report. So you go check it out if you want to contribute to that project. Short list today. There's a lot going on. You want to talk macro? I know you don't like talking macro. There's a ton we could talk about, though.
Well, let's do the shout outs, and then we can talk macro, and then we'll go to software releases.
Let's end on macro. We'll do software. I want to end on the boring.
I have one, like, not really. It's not macro, but it's global. To end it too.
All right, here we go. Top four. Boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 309, the Petrodollar Grand Finale. Number one, at Riverside BTC Meetup, boosted 50,000 sats. Last time Marty read the Riverside County Meetup, shout out. Two new people came to our meetup. Shout out to you, two new people. One of them sent me 50,000 sats to boost RHR this week. We meet every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Grey Wolf Brewing in Norco, California. Bitcoin is accepted here. Find us at riversidebitcoin.com. That's riversidebitcoin.com. Shout out to all our Norco, Californian Bitcoiners and freaks that are listening and congregating once a week to talk about Bitcoin. We appreciate your support to this show and your support of Bitcoin and each other. It's important to support each other in these trying times. Build a community. It's great to see you guys doing that. Every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m., Grey Wolf Brewing, Norco, California. At Pringle Stacks, boosted 44,444 sats. Fours across the board. Palindrome boost. Two kings. Salute. Heart emoji. Shout out to you. Sil, appreciate your ongoing support. And at Eric99, boosted 25,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats. And
Sil. Can't help but notice the zap has gone down in the amount.
Eric, thank you. Hey, any boost is a good boost for me. The fact that you're listening, you're contributing. Don't let Matt shame your boost amount. It could be higher. I'm not going to shame you.
Fountain lists like total all-time contributions. And between RHR, Citadel Dispatch, and TFTC, like Eric has contributed enough sats for a lifetime. Like you don't have to go. We honestly probably should just give Eric99 a shout out every week regardless. Because he's a true ride or die freak. And he has great advice. Every week he comes in with great advice.
Incredible advice. And shout out to that guy who fixed his website that was spreading misinformation.
Does it zap now?
Yeah. I didn't even zap.
It's during the show. It's Weirdo Robot. And his project is phenomenal. And you should zap more.
At Self boosted 20,000 sats twice with no comment. In either boost, but shout out to you, Self.
Great advice. Thank you. Boosting.
That's all we got for shout outs. This week. The
for themselves.
Thank you guys for participating via Podcasting 2.0 and participating with us live via zap.stream. Hey, Paulie, read the book Mandibles, not financial advice. Advice has a C. Not an S. I'm your editor here.
I see Nim33 asked in the Zap stream comments, rhr.tv/stream for that. Is Volt reviewed? Does it do NFC with cold card yet? It is the opposite of reviewed. It is early alpha. Don't use it with large amounts of money. But it's a promising project, and I love Abubakar. And I don't believe it has NFC with cold card yet, but hopefully soon. I also think it'd be great with that new portal wallet that Alicos is coming out with. I actually have a prototype of the
portal. I pre-ordered that. I should be getting mine soon.
Yeah, well, I have it first.
Yeah, cool. I mean,
supposedly, like, blue checks were delayed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, don't turn into the monster that you guys are trying to run away from. That's all I would say. You know, discrimination, censorship. Is this what's happening right now, freaks? They're trying to create a two-tiered society. Turning into the monsters they're trying to run away from. Back to the list. Software updates section of the podcast, Bitcoin Core. Version 27.1 has been released with bug fixes and performance improvements. BISC version 1.9.16 has been released with improved network resilience and stability. CivKit Alpha has been released with P2P order book, escrow, and PGP chat for trades. Ride the Lightning RTL version 0.15.1 beta has been released with UX enhancements, bug fixes, and more. Envoy version 1.7.0 has been released with Buy Bitcoin, the ability to redeem BTC Pay vouchers, and more. Umbrel OS version 1.2 has been released with Wi-Fi support, revamped live usage as well. And Amethyst version 0.88.0 has been released with performance mode and performance improvements. Tails version 6.4 has been released with random seed on USB stick to strengthen cryptography. So Tails is that bootloaded operating system that you can use. Trezor has introduced Safe 5 signing device. So it's a signing device manufactured by Trezor, which introduces a new flagship Safe 5 signing device. They release as a BTC prog. The device is priced at $169 and comes with either Bitcoin-only firmware or multi-coin support. The company also launched a new Trezor export onboarding service for new customers. So it's equipped with a 1.54-inch screen, 240 by 240 pixels, Gorilla Glass 3 touchscreen display with Trezor Touch, haptic engine, a certified chip, EAL 6 plus secure element, so it comes with a secure element, and a micro SD card slot. The device is powered by Cortex M33 160 megahertz embedded ARM processor. It's supposed to have regular 12 and 24 word BIP39 backups and Shamir secret sharing based multi-share recovery scheme. The new backup process enables users to upgrade from a standard single share backup to a more advanced multi-share backup. So another hardware development on the market.
I will say, first of all,
before you say, I just want to highlight the hypocrisy of what you just did. I got completely lambasted for doing an on-air open product a couple of weeks ago. And look at you here trying to gloat about having this wallet first. You just did an unboxing live on air of an untested product. Okay. Go on.
Just a reminder out there, if you send Murray a free tablet, he'll show you a product.
Send Matt a free hardware wallet, he'll do the same.
I'm not shilling it. I wanted to just jump in on there on the Trezor news. First of all, great to see them add a secure element. I think that's absolutely necessary because you don't want an attacker with physical access to just pull the seed directly off the hardware wallet. So it's been a long time coming, and it's really good to see them add that, particularly because they're such a large part of the market. And they were this large part of the market that didn't have a secure element. So it's really good to see them add that. This 20 word seed phrase standard thing they're trying to come up with, like, I don't, they're pissing 24 me off. Word? No, 20 word.
What?
They're like, we solved it by coming up with a new standard. And they have this new 20 words.
I haven't seen this.
They're different words. It's a different word.
Not 39?
No, it's slip 39. It's their own standard. And it's supposed to be easier to use with Shamir secret sharing. So you can split them up with not multi-sig. Presumably, so it's easier to support shitcoins. Because you can do slip 39 with shitcoins. You can't do native Bitcoin multi-sig with shitcoins. That's concerning to me. I think that's going to cause a lot of user confusion. And
I don't think it won't be compatible with other wallets, right?
That as well. Yeah. I mean, I think they said Electrum.
You just muted yourself, Matt.
Yeah, you just muted yourself.
I think spacebar mutes. Yeah, it does. I assume Craig Rawl will add support in like 2 weeks because he just ships really quick. And Electrum has support. And there's a couple other software wallets, I think, that have support. But yeah, I don't think this is an argument between like which standard is better. There is a standard. And now there's a completely different implementation that is going to confuse a shit ton of users and is kind of vendor lock-in-y-ish, right? It's like, oh, you know, you're stuck in the Treasury ecosystem. So that concerns me. But yeah. Yeah, this exactly. The meme is like, oh, we'll solve the competing standards problem with another standard. But we don't even have we're fortunate enough that we don't have a competing standards problem. Like BIP39 seed words are the fucking standard. Like everyone uses them. It is actually amazing that is the case, that you can just like take these seed words and just move from wallet to wallet and be pretty much okay. Like sometimes derivation path is obscure and then you get fucked, but for the most part, it works amazingly well. And is we it prior- be- we have seed words.
Is SLIP39, you know, prioritized in the UI? Because yeah, that could be a mess. I mean, Trezor is number two hardware wallet behind Ledger. That could create a massive problem.
I don't know. They haven't sent me a free one yet. And I only talk about products when I get free ones. So I'm waiting. The Bitcoin Park address is public. You can just ship one out there.
So is the Commons.
Yeah, there you go. And you can do a batch send. Just send two at once. But anyway, Marty, Portal is bigger than I thought.
Oh, that's not like an encasing that you can take it out of?
No, because you're supposed to put this part on the back of your phone, right? So you can still see and you have the touch screen.
It's way bigger than I thought.
Yeah, it's quite large. Anyway, there's no apps that work with it yet, so I haven't been able to test it. Like literally just, its main use case is to shame Marty that I got it first. So.
Noted.
Nostr only. It has its advantages.
In this case, it does? Or was it just like you were at a conference with this guy and he was handing it out to whoever was there?
No, he said no blue checks. No blue checks.
Yeah. Turning into the monsters you're trying to run away from. It's disgusting.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
It's true. Moving down the list. Brains launched a mini miner, the BMM 100, at BTC Prague last week. I saw some cool videos of people walking around with it. So the mini miner is a compact, sleek, and discreet device that may easily blend into your living room decor. Don't be fooled by its modest appearance. It still boasts cutting-edge technology. Simply plug it in and let the sat stacking begin. It comes with Stratum V2, allowing you to enjoy increased security with end-to-end encryption and reduce data loads as soon as you activate it. The display can be customized to track your own mining data, monitor the Bitcoin price, or serve as the most interesting desk clock ever. So looks like we have another iteration, or not an iteration, but another BitAx-like product on the market. Cost $200. Expected delivery date September of this year.
I like the concept of low power, efficient, plug and play home miners. Like you said, we see that on the BitAx side, on the open source side. We've seen that with stuff like HeatBit, which aims to be a heater as well. I will just say that like Avalon has one, Canaan came out with one that's 4 terahash and half the price. So, I mean, I haven't had either in my hands yet, but I don't understand the discrepancy there. Like, it seems like the Avalon one is just a way better deal. But I like this concept. And I think specifically what you do is you do like solo CK pool or you do solo public pool and you just use it as a lottery miner. Like, you know, like maybe you'll find a solo block yourself and it's better odds than lottery. And in the meantime, you get like a little space heater if you live in a cold environment and you don't do any electric work like that. There's an appeal there.
And you're helping to distribute the hash rate, doing your small part. Matt, this begs the question, how 21co? Just early. It was on the right path, you know?
I mean, you paid a Bitcoin for that paperweight.
It was just eight years too early.
Like, that is the understatement of the century. You paid fucking $65,000 worth of present day purchasing power for a fucking paperweight.
Spend and replace. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope for your sake one day it's worth more than a Bitcoin. I wouldn't hold your breath, but yes, they were quite early.
Like the home miner, the whole concept behind the 21Co computer was the machine payable web. Lightning had not been launched yet. Wasn't viable.
I mean, so the app.
A testament to timing is very important in this market.
The Avalon is 4 terahash, right? And it's half the price. It's like $100. So the Avalon is 150,000 sats. You paid one Bitcoin for the, like, we've come a long way, I think, in terms of, you know, what you get, but it's still probably early. It's still probably mostly a novelty. Like, you don't get this because of like the risk reward benefit of the miner outperforming just holding Bitcoin. But it's a cool talking piece to have, and it's plug and play. I like that as a concept.
Yeah, and it's 100% open hardware and firmware as well, which is good to see.
Wait, with the Brains one?
Scott is saying this in the Zap.stream live chat, and I'm assuming Scott's saying it must be true.
No, I think he's talking about the portal. Scott, are you talking about the portal? Because then he says the Brains mini miner phones home to a centralized license server for permission to operate, which sounds like the exact opposite. The comment you were talking about is the portal, which is completely open. Actually, doesn't have a secure element, which is a concern. But we've talked about it previously. The threat model that they're going through is, first of all, you have to communicate through NFC. And second of all, it basically adds a passphrase by default to try and stop brute forcing. But NFC itself, like, kind of limits the brute force potential. But yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of secure elements when it comes to holding Bitcoin.
I am as well. Last topic on the list before we move on to riffing. I've got a lot to riff about today.
Before we go to the next one, have you seen this Canaan Avalon thing? Like, I thought it was like a scam, but like, people started receiving shipments. Like, it almost, Logan, I put it in the chat. It almost like reads too good to be true. The Avalon Nano 3, $100, 4 terahash.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like BitAx where Canaan.
Yeah, they're just repurposing chips.
Yeah, that the industrial size miners weren't buying because they wanted Bitmain and MicroBT machines. And I guess Canaan said, all right, if the industrial guys are going to buy this, maybe we should repurpose this for retail. That's what I would assume is happening here.
Scott confirmed that he was talking about Portal when he said open hardware.
Sorry for speaking out of turn, Scott.
The way I look at it is like, you get this thing if you want like best bang for your buck, and then you do a BitAx if you want to support open hardware and open source.
Yeah.
You know, and those are your two options. And like, I love the Brains guys, but like, I just don't see how they can compete with, like, if an actual like educated consumer should just buy the Avalon Nano 3. Fucking $100, 4 terahash.
Well, Scott is saying in the comments that you need to buy a $30 PSU for.
Yeah, so $130.
Yeah.
$130 for that. Versus 200 for the Brains. Like, they're out competed already. They came to market with a way more expensive product. It's 1/4 of the terahash.
I'll probably still buy one for $200 just because it looks cool.
Are you going to buy an Avalon too?
Maybe, yeah. I'm going to buy BitAx. I have to get on all this.
I have a bit actually. It overheated because of the update, but
yeah, look at you forcing updates live on air. That
still works fine. I updated it again. Everything works. It's good. We're good. We're golden. But I think this concept is cool to me. You just like plug it into a regular outlet. You don't need like a, you got like a little space heater that's like running the lottery.
So let's run the numbers here for the Canaan, the Avalon Miner, 4 terahash. You need 50 individuals to get the same output as an S21, I believe. I believe it's around 200, maybe 240. So maybe 60 individuals. So 60, I'm trying to think of how many individuals you would need to buy these products to.
If you live in a house, you can get like 3 of them, put them in different rooms.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in the thought experiment of decentralizing hash rate geographically and hash rate ownership more granularly, like we'd probably need a few million people to make it so that aggregate hash rate would be enough to act as like a good hedge against hash rate centralization.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is still like mostly a novelty. This early days, I think the big change, and I'm a broken record about this. The big change is like when you go into Home Depot and like you buy your water heater, and the water heater is a Bitcoin miner, and then you can put significantly more power there. Like it's like this, you know, the central heat or the central hot water, right? And then you're getting the benefits of the waste heat, and we're still probably like 5-10 years away from that. Mm-hmm. But it's got to start somewhere, right? And a lot of people do use electric heaters. I mean, they don't call them space heaters in Europe. They're just heaters. Like that electric heat is the standard over there.
Yeah, they don't have AC. Apparently, it's a big problem this summer.
They basically live in the Stone Age over there. And now they don't even want you to have message encryption. So,
Greg is asking about if we mentioned the Bitcoin Knots update in the software.
Did Bitcoin Knots get updated?
It did. Reading the release note, it comes with node policy changes. A new non-standard token/asset protocol launched a few weeks ago, Runes, due to its lack of competent review, design flaws, as well as the relative worthlessness of the tokens, at least when first minted, resulted in it being particularly spammy in practice. Some users have chosen to block all data carrier transactions in an effort to mitigate this. To better address users' concerns, this release adds a new feature, Reject Tokens Policy Filter, also available in the GUI, that will only block Runes transactions, thereby enabling users who choose to tolerate data carrier otherwise to enable that policy. Note that this is not enabled by default at this time.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't intentionally leave that out. We will make sure to track Bitcoin Knots releases going forward. I will say that I personally love Luke and appreciate his contributions to the space. I think you can run Knots now on Start 9, which makes it easier than ever to use Knots in your stack. I might be wrong. Maybe it's coming soon, but I think they already have added Knots as an easy install. I personally continue to run Bitcoin Core. That's my own personal decision. I like a lot of eyes on the Bitcoin implementation I use, but I would like to see more support on Knots. And I will say that on the OpenSat side, if there are any Knots contributors that are not Luke, feel free to go to opensats.org/apply. I've actually talked to Luke about this at length. I mean, it's part of the reason why OpenSats exists is to fund things like that. He specifically does not require funding because of the great success that they've found at Ocean so far. If any other contributors want to apply, they're welcome to apply.
Beware, freaks, beware. Check it out. Last on the list, we have a story about the truth about the Shadowy Migration 5.
This is so fucked up. Did you read this?
I have not. I'm unaware of what's going on.
Okay, read the whole thing for the free. I'm kidding.
I almost started.
So the Five Eyes. Do you know the Five Eyes?
Yes. Us, New Zealand, England, Australia, France, Canada. Canada. Not France.
Yeah, and then there's like the Nine Eyes and like the 11 Eyes and like the 20. There's a lot of eyes. But like the Five Eyes are like, we'll spy on each other's people and we'll share it with each other so that we don't have to all spy on the same people. Historically, like pretty much everything associated with the Five Eyes is fucked up. But they were doing this thing where like, if someone sought asylum in one of those five countries, they would share all of that personal information, like all the family background, everything, the fingerprints, the eye scans, like everything you do at a border, they would share all of that among each other if you were seeking asylum. Since then, it's been expanded. So they just do it for anyone who comes into their country. So if you go to US, like they share with the other four eyes. If you go to Australia, they share with the other four eyes. You go to New Zealand, they share with the other four eyes. Everything for every person who comes into their country, eye scans, fingerprints, you know, all the personal information that they make you fill out when you cross a border. Incredibly fucked up. This New Zealand publication broke the story. It's something to be aware of. Like it's, you know, I've said previously on Rabbit Hole Recap since before COVID that we should, especially if you have an American passport, that it's never been easier to travel the world than it is today. And it's going to get worse. And then COVID happened and it just like immediately got fucking worse, which I'm not pretending like I expected global borders to close the way they did during COVID. I mean, that caught me completely off guard. But yeah, it's going to continue to get worse. And you have no rights when you cross the border. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You're incredibly vulnerable when you cross the border. And your devices.
I'm reading this story and it just highlights how dragnet surveillance is not only unconstitutional and an overt infringement on civil liberties, but it's just completely ineffective. Like the story that they highlight in this piece is this toddler. Sebastian was 6 weeks old when he was identified by an airport check-in assistant as being on the terrorist no-fly list. She took us aside and in a hushed voice, she told us it's because he's getting flagged. And so like they're doing this dragnet surveillance.
And it's same name as someone else. Yeah. Like he's 6 months old. Like you can't, it is empirically impossible to be a 6 month old terrorist. Like, I don't care what you say. I don't care what your politics are. Like 6 month old people cannot be terrorists. They lack
6 weeks.
Even 6 months. Like 6 month olds cannot be terrorists. They can't fucking walk yet. They can't talk. They can't pack their own bag. They have no idea what's going on. Yeah, they can barely see. Well, it's 6 weeks. At 6 months, they can see.
At 6 months, again, 6 weeks. I think it takes 8 weeks to fully develop. Marty's
like formulating, if you can see, you can be a terrorist. And he's like formulating the next. But it's fucking ridiculous. It's insane. And they, instead of like, you know, innocent until proven guilty, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Yeah. Everyone is guilty until proven innocent.
We have to detain your 6 week old for 12 hours by himself so that we can determine whether or not he's a terrorist. It's completely dehumanizing. Like, and is completely stripped, particularly those who work on behalf of the state, their humanity. Like, there's no ability to make an educated decision. Like they are so mind warped that they're taught to work by the book, by the administrative state. And it's like, oh, if he's on the list, he's a terrorist. We have to set you aside here. It's completely disgusting.
Yeah. Josh mentioned in the Zapstream comments, and this is what I was alluding to, but it's good that he made it more explicit. is like with the Five Eyes agreements and like the Nine Eyes and the 20 Eyes or whatever, they have all the eyes, is they also use it to like get around constitutional protections and other kind of protections on spying on your own citizens, right? So it's like in the US, we can't spy on Americans without breaking the Constitution without a warrant. And we do it anyway. But so you have Australia do it, and then Australia shares it with us. Or you have a corporation do it, and then you just buy the quote-unquote anonymized location data from the corporation, and you don't need a warrant. So it's used as – it's often used – these partnerships are often used as an end-around of any kind of legal protections that individuals have. And it's incredibly fucked up. I will say the YouTube comments are surprisingly strong. This one
from Ponyo. I mean, it's a good point too. Going back to the fact that like this dragnet surveillance puts people in harm. He's mentioning the fact that when we abandoned when we left Afghanistan haphazardly and left all of our military equipment and alongside it data, like the Taliban has access to that information, which includes information about informants, which they are now actively targeting.
Full database of every informant that they got. So there was, first of all, there was Travis West saying, how based is that baby if it is a terrorist already? Which is a questionable comment, but funny nonetheless. And then we have purchased for a price saying, why is Odell so bearish on what 6-month-old Bitcoiners can accomplish? And, you know, I don't think they can be terrorists. I don't think they're that equipped.
It's funny.
Six-month-old Bitcoiners as you can be.
I may have to stop what I've been doing for the last couple of months because our 2-year-old is exemplifying the stereotypical actions of what many here in the States refer to as the terrible twos. And I've been referring to him as a terrorist to anybody who asks how he's doing. I'm like, he's a little terrorist.
Did he speak in caps yet?
He does. He screams. He screams when he talks.
Same.
I'm like, say lovingly, I have to be careful. Five Eyes could be picking up what I say. And maybe they're going to think that I'm housing a terrorist and they're going to come and take my 2-year-old because I've been referring to him as a terrorist as he goes through his terrible twos. I mean, we're joking, but like, this is where this ends up. Like, they're just going to pick up people mentioning the word terrorist and they go knock on their door.
No, I mean, it's particularly like my work with the HRF, like has really, like we have ridiculous privilege having American passports. It is so much easier for us to travel than other people. I mean, I talk to people that every time they go through a border, they go to secondary where they put you in the room. They ask you all the questions. They check your devices. They like make you wait there for an extra hour and a half just to fuck with you. As particularly crossing borders, people are incredibly vulnerable. And they use that against us. They use that against individuals who want to connect and meet each other in person and share knowledge. And that's just wrong. That shouldn't be the way it is.
You're not thinking about the quality of life of the law enforcement. They have to go stop all the criminals and terrorists, you know?
There's this one activist who wants to make a movie called Secondary. And it's just all the people he's met in secondary. He's like, they're all based. And they're like all completely different types of people. It's like 65-year-old Venezuelan woman, you know? Like 35-year-old Thai guy. Like, this is like all of these different types of people. It's just like everyone I've met in secondary every time I travel.
They're all in there together.
Yeah.
We got you too.
He's like, it's the best conversation. Like, there's no better conversation you can have than the people that's sitting next to you in secondary, regardless of the border. It doesn't matter which border. It's like those are the people you want to have a chat with.
Yeah. Alas. Now,
sitting there, I was like, hasn't happened to me yet, but always expecting it.
Keep expecting it. I don't want to.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about macro now? We've finished we finished Odell's list. Now we go on to Marty's list that is in his head.
Well, I think this is something that everybody should be aware of. It's not necessarily macro, but it could be a good segue into macro, more banking issues. Logan, you pull up the tweet, but I'm not sure if you freaks have been following along, but there is a bit of a crisis going on behind the scenes, particularly in the banking as a service industry, which has popped up over the last 5 years, I think, most prominently. So for any who are unaware, there's a lot of Silicon Valley-backed startups that have launched, and they're basically trying to improve the UI and UX around banking services. And what they'll do is create a company and then use a chartered bank as a back end. And a lot of these, or one company in particular, Synapse, was pretty successful and was running the banking operations for a bunch of startups in Silicon Valley. And they ran into some trouble at the end of last year and had all their users' funds frozen or lost. I think it's still exactly unclear what happened, but this affected many apps in Silicon Valley, and people have been locked out of a couple $100 million as a result and have not had access to that for, I believe, 4 or 5 months now at this point. And so as the bankruptcy proceeding or the civil lawsuit proceeding of Synapse is progressing, the bank that they were leveraging, Evolve and Trust Bank Corp, is getting dragged into the mix, and there's just been a pretty big back and forth going on in terms of accusations thrown from Synapse and towards Evolve and vice versa. And I wanted to highlight this just because I know that there are many people in the space, particularly post Silicon Valley Bank blow up of last year, that transitioned to Mercury Bank. And Mercury Bank is a similar banking as a service company that leverages Evolve Trust and Bank is one of their back end banks. And they also use Choice, but from what I understand, Choice is in the crosshairs as well. And so there's a little bit of a Silicon Valley startup bank crisis bubbling under the surface that not too many people are talking about, that I think you should all be aware of, especially if you're leveraging a product like Mercury that is using Evolve as a back end. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. It seems like to me, from all the research I've been doing, that Synapse and their founder was mishandling funds, but it seems like the regulators are taking this particular kerfuffle as an opportunity to sort of do broad brush regulation on this whole niche market that's popped up over the last 5 years. And it's going to make it very hard for these banks servicing these banking as a service companies to actually do what they've been doing. At least that's what it seems like the Fed and the FDIC would like to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Operation Choke Point stuff, right? Yeah. So this is not, the bank runs do continue, but this is not the bank runs continuing. This is the federal government that is bought and paid for by different special interests trying to stop anyone who's working in fintech that is innovating, which is why the real fintech businesses are the Bitcoin businesses. But that's a different point. But anyway, on Mercury and all these guys, like, just don't keep any money in a bank that you're not willing to lose. Just hold it in Bitcoin. The treasury strategy is, you know, Saylor can think he came up with the concept, but just hold as much Bitcoin as possible. Like, Bitcoin is the cheat code. You want to hold as much Bitcoin as possible. Use these things as, like, if you have to interact with fiat stuff, if someone's going to pay you in dollars, you receive it, just immediately send out and buy Bitcoin and then hold Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that solves like 99% of problems. And that doesn't matter if you're an individual, a company, a government. Like, hold money that doesn't require trust. And then you can't be burnt by the trust that is required by holding other types of money.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring this up because I wrote a newsletter about it on Friday when I posted it to Noster. There was a couple people in the comments of that note that said they were not aware of this and they were using mercury. So I figured there may be some listeners of this show that are in the same boat. So just, this is a unraveling situation or a developing situation that I would stay on top of if you're using any of these services.
As someone who hates banks, like just hates the experience I get from banks, and it's mostly not the bank's fault, to be honest. It's the regulatory burden that gets put on the banks that results in such a poor customer experience. Mercury is fucking awesome. Like we use Mercury for Rabbit Hole Recap. It's Rabbit Hole Recap's only bank. And it's just a really good product. Like it just fucking works. Like you receive the money when you want to receive the money, you send the money when you want to send the money. Like it just works. It's very easy to use. Me and Marty live in different places. We have like our debit cards and stuff, but like we don't keep any money in it. It's just like immediately we receive it, just goes straight to Bitcoin. But they've been phenomenal. And so it's really frustrating to see in a world where you can't, like, it feels like you increasingly cannot trust any banks. Even the ones that are doing good in terms of customer service and product offering, they can just get fucking taken out behind the shed and shot. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the UI UX, the product offering is incredible.
It's great. It works so well.
Yeah. So be aware if you're out there. This is probably going to be a story that becomes more prominent throughout the summer and into fall, because it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon. And look, and if you can pull up that tweet that I had, if you're looking for somebody to follow, not this one, the previous one, but we'll talk about this next. Someone to
follow. I have this small novelty Twitter account called Zero Hedge.
But this guy, Jason McCullough, has been covering the case. So if you're looking to stay on top of it, I highly recommend you go follow him.
Zero John Noster.
His at is, he's not on Noster yet, I don't think, but
he's got a blue check.
At McCullough, J-A, M-I-K-U-L-A-J-A, if you want to go follow him.
Is he a Bitcoiner?
I don't think so. I actually DM'd him to come on the show to talk about this. And he was like, yeah, I'm down. And he was like, what is your show focus on? I was like, Bitcoin and other things. He just stopped responding. So I don't know.
Dude, that's when you say truth for the commoner.
I did.
About Bitcoin. You're supposed to bring up Bitcoin like 45 minutes into the interview.
It's typically what I do.
You lure them in and then you prophesize after. Yeah. Okay, so between the blue check and he just ghosted you over saying Bitcoin, like his.
Yeah, I think so.
Stop hitting space, Matt.
I got a new keyboard. It's like in front. I'm sorry. Thanks.
Sorry,
The
last macro topic I have. This seems like more of an elevation to serious banking crisis stuff, and it emanates from Japan, where Norin Shuken Bank has announced that they plan on selling, I believe, up to $60 billion of U.S. treasuries over the next year in an attempt to stem losses that they are stomaching from their collateralized loan obligation exposure. So similar to CDOs. Collateralized, I think CLO is more focused on corporate debt. So it seems like they're underwater on a lot of their corporate debt that they've acquired, and they're going to begin unloading treasuries to defend those positions and defend the liquidity profile of their bank. Obviously not a U.S. banking problem, but I believe that the Fed has opened up the window to this particular bank, and they did it a few months ago. Many different competing theories on this. Tom Luongo, he believes this is part of the inter-cabal squabble thesis, where since these guys are getting access to the Fed window, it's an attempt to force the hand of the European Central Bank and the Swiss Central Bank to manipulate their monetary policies a certain way that would continue to drain the euro dollar markets. Others are saying it's a simple banking crisis with asset liability mismatches. But fact is, they're going to be dumping treasuries. This is something that many have speculated would begin to happen, particularly out of Japan, considering the nature of the Japanese yen, how it's been trading against the dollar, and the systemic nature of their U.S. Treasury position as a central bank and an economy overall. So a bank in Japan is going to begin selling U.S. Treasuries, which is interesting. And this is happening the same week that Paul Ryan wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, basically advocating for the proliferation of stablecoins in the U.S., arguing that the demand that stablecoin issuers provide for treasury auctions is becoming somewhat of a national security issue. So very interesting timing on those back-to-back stories.
Mandibles. I mean, it's a little bit like of a, you know, it's like a Mexican standoff. It's like everyone knows they're holding shit. And it's like, who unloads the shit first? Like, why would you hold it? Who, once again, who would lend the U.S. government money? It's just think about it. From like, an like, this is the worst, most degenerate friend you've ever had. Don't lend him money. It doesn't make any sense. It is not risk-free yield. It's the opposite. It makes no sense to me. We have Paulie in the comments. He zapped 21,000 sats on the Nostril live stream. I felt like he deserved a shout out. He had great advice. He says, read the book Mandibles. It's a good read. Consider it.
Consider it. Consider it. It's a great book.
I have another topic. We have like 20 minutes to your hard stop, right?
Yes.
Did I do this right?
We have 50 minutes to my hard stop, so we got plenty of time.
How much time do we have? We have 50?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in the Nostril live chat, if you want us to cover anything, put it in the Nostril live chat, and we'll cover it. I sent you the wrong link. Don't click that link.
Is it porn?
This is the link. This is the link I meant to send you. It's not porn. By the way, like a greater number, you brought it up, our favorite porn influencer, a greater number of U.S. states are requiring KYC age verification to view porn, which will not stop porn. It's just creating another data collection point on people and normalizing KYC. I think the way you stop porn is podcasters around the world that are focused on completely different topics than porn, bringing it up every week on their podcast. Like, I think that's how we stop porn.
I don't bring it up every week, but stop watching porn, freaks.
So check this out. Chris Cyborg, UFC women's fighter, featherweight, fucking champion. Like, she wins all the time. She put Nostr on her shorts.
She did?
Yeah. And then she, you know, bragged about it on Nostr after she beat the shit out of this woman.
She's pretty based. I sat down, Thomas Packey and I sat down with her at the PubKey bus during the Bitcoin conference in the summer.
Can we get her to our live event on July 25th?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be a good fit.
She's a big Bitcoiner. She gets it too.
And she's big on Nostr. She's a Nostr person. She understands Nostr.
Speaking of which, we've been getting reminded all day to pump the live event in Nashville. So this is a perfect opportunity to do it. Chris Cyborg may or may not be there.
She's going to be there. It's gonna be the last RHR ever in person.
Last RHR ever, July 25th. It's Thursday, 4 to 7 p.m. in Nashville. If you're going to the conference, go to pubkey.bar/RHR. Get your tickets while you still can. VIP tickets are completely sold out. GA is going fast. Only $50.
It's gonna be 3 hours.
We accept Bitcoin too. There's a lot of events going on that day that aren't accepting Bitcoin.
There's gonna be
your own dog food here.
There's going to be a Zeus after party afterwards. That should be another 3 hours. So you get 6 hours for $50. It's included if you get the RHR ticket. And Marty doesn't like to – Marty only likes to talk about, like, theoretical – he only degrades people in a theoretical sense. There is a pleb party that is going on the same time as us. And they're charging 5x the amount of money. And they're not accepting Bitcoin. So – consider asking for a refund, which they can easily do because you paid with credit card. They can just issue you a refund and then buy a ticket to our event instead. You'll have a better time. We can guarantee you that you will have a better time if you come to the RHR Live event.
The hot style takeover, baby. It's going to be hot. It's going to be styling. We're going to be profiling.
We're going to have Chris Cyborg there. She's going to fight Marty. There's going
to
be...
Hey, I don't want to have to beat up a woman, okay? I don't want
to. She only fights blue checks. Otherwise, I would volunteer myself.
Chris, if you're listening, I know you'd kick my ass. I'm kidding. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. The PubKey people come up with ridiculous concepts.
Yeah.
That we just like reluctantly agree to. So.
Yeah, I had something else to mention. Something else to mention. I forgot it. What did I forget? What did I forget? Fill in real quick. I'm going to remember this.
Pubkey.bar/RHR. You can pay with credit card or Bitcoin. We give you options.
I remembered.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, we talked about this earlier. No, did we talk about this earlier? I don't think we did. I talked about this earlier with somebody else, but did you see this? You didn't because you're not on Twitter, but I think you'll appreciate this. The shitcoiners are beginning to understand something that Bitcoiners have been telling them for well over a decade, which is that all these cryptocurrencies compete on monetary properties. I think we should take some time. Not going to theoretically call this guy out, going to call him out directly. Mile doucher. Look and pull up this thread.
Call him out.
Miles Duescher, he discovered a major fundamental flaw in crypto that is starting to emerge. It's the number one reason why altcoins are underperforming the cycle, and currently there seems to be no fix. He just dug through all the data, and what he found was shocking. How altcoin dispersion is killing crypto. And he basically explains in 100 tweets that apparently you can just create supply out of thin air with all these altcoins, and it's making it hard for the price to go up. So you got a systemic existential crisis going on in crypto bro land where they're finally
on Twitter.
The best part is it's like 100 tweet thread, and at the bottom I didn't read the whole thing. I was just like scrolling like, all right, what's this guy gonna say at the end? He's like, I figured out a way to pick the altcoins that aren't gonna do this. Follow my newsletter and I'll tell you which ones.
Like and subscribe. Thank you. Yeah, they're all competing monies. Everything, at the end of the day, what do you hold your money in? What do you hold your time in, your wealth in? You're going to choose. You're going to make a decision. Everything competes. It's a global free market. Who will win? I think the scarcest, most hard money will win. Like that is the Bitcoin thesis in a nutshell.
Yeah, I just thought the dramatization of the thread. I discovered something that people aren't talking about. It's like,
it really
if you can
is.
Print more, dude, they will print more and it doesn't make the number go up. It's like, holy shit, bro.
Dude, it's internal September on. Like, you're going to. This cycle has barely gotten started. Like, Twitter is going to be just everyone coming up with ideas that, like, Hal Finney, like, posted about a Bitcoin talk, like, on, like, week four. It's like, that's where you're going to be at. That's how it always happens. We have Kevin R, 21,000 sats, zapped us. Thank you, Kevin. He said, join the Node Runners community, batch transaction coordinator, see instructions on wasabi.kravins.nl. I'm getting closer to the first successful coin join round.
Shout out to you, Kevin. And there's a lot of spamming conversation going on the Zap.Stream live chat.
You want to talk about that? We have some time.
There's no such, I mean, it's a valid transaction. You may not like it. And I'm of the opinion, if you give it too much air, you're just boosting these people.
Greg really wants me to run Bitcoin Nuts. And I appreciate the Bitcoin Nuts project because it's good to have options. Like, users should have as many options as possible. I don't think blocking these transactions at the node level, if you're not a miner, really does anything of significance. Like, you're not changing anything on the consensus level. We've had minds like Polstra who are way greater than mine in terms of understanding how these systems work, say that we can't change the protocol in a way that blocks those transactions and doesn't block other transactions. So you're really doing nothing. You're just making yourself feel better. Then Greg asked me a second time, he goes, when will the spammers run out of money? You've been calling for this for a while, Matt. Like, ultimately, the defense mechanism is the transaction fee market. Every time someone sends a transaction you don't like, they have to pay a transaction fee to miners. And that's a beautiful free market. It's what does the market want to pay to get included in the Bitcoin blockchain? And I will say, although I have been correct that mempools have not cleared, and that there is a relatively healthy Bitcoin fee market going on, Bitcoin fees are like not that high right now. Like, not, they are running out of money. They are literally subsidizing miners constantly. They're just sending to a lot of miners that didn't do good financial planning that like could use the little stimulus package that they're getting. So like, if you can confirm an 11 sats per byte, congratulations. That's fucking awesome. Like, I don't think, I don't see the fear. Is it not great that the UTXO set has blossomed and grown and makes it, you know, you have to use slightly better resources to run a Bitcoin node? Like, no, that kind of sucks. Like, Raspberry Pis are not a great way to run a Bitcoin node right now. But like, if you have to spend $150 on hardware instead of $35 or $45, once again, you know, you gotta like, we don't live in a vacuum here. And it is what it is. That attack vector exists. They can do whatever the fuck they want. Yeah. And we can't stop them. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, Logan, pull up that mempool.space.
I would say, like, a lot of the people that virtue signal about this shit control large amounts of hash, and they continue to confirm their transactions. They take the money. All you have to do is look at the hash rate of Ocean and look at the hash rate of everyone else. Ocean is a negligible portion of hash rate. Actions speak louder than words. Marty and I do not control a large amount of hash rate. I like to think if I did, I would, in principle, not mine those transactions. Obviously, I don't control that amount of hash rate, so I can't prove that out, but I did delete my Twitter account. Yeah. So that there's something there.
Logan, doesn't look like you have access to mempool goggles, but the reason I want you to pull up this block is because if you filter using the mempool goggles for inscriptions, it's not too many transactions in the block. It doesn't seem to be pricing out economic transactions, at least recently. And yeah, you look at it, it just comes in like spurts. Yeah,
like, so Roots has like the system where it's like
go to data and then inscription,
they make like more rare runes or whatever, so it's gonna be like a little bit
like, yeah, so here's the filter for block 800, 48,792, and the highlighted transactions are all the inscriptions in the block, which it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think these people are wasting money. I think the JPEGs are not aesthetically pleasing, and I don't know why you need to store them in Bitcoin. I wouldn't. I don't think people.
If they want to burn their money, then they can burn their money. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like, don't panic into making a bad decision. that is forever because of short-term shitcoin nonsense. Like that's, it's a very simple way of looking at things. But I think it's very helpful. We do have Josh in the comments. He's a little bit impatient, asking, has Fediment fallen off? I thought it'd be more revolutionary, but doesn't seem like it's gaining much traction. It's still very, very early days.
Yeah, we had the first stable release 4 months ago.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I mean, you can use it in production right now on mainnet with Mutiny Wallet. If you go to mutinywallet.com, either download the app, use it in the browser, you can choose your federation. There's like a whole Nostr trust-based system where you can see like who the people you follow, what they recommend in terms of which Fediment to choose. But I will just say from my dialogue with people that are testing these things in the wild, it's still very early days. Like I don't, when you test these things in the wild is when you start to come up with issues and you start to realize what concerns there are, what threat vectors there are, what vulnerabilities exist. And it's going to take a little time, especially if it's larger amounts of money. So I think it's still quite early. That's one of the cool parts about the Cashew project, the Cashew protocol. They don't have that whole federated element, so they can just iterate way, way, way quicker because they don't have the complexity of a multi-sig underlying the whole thing. But I do think ultimately the vision, especially for larger amounts, should be a multi-sig model because we can do that with Bitcoin. And it just strictly makes the trust model way better. Like you need multiple parties to either get coerced or collude together to steal the money or do the unseen inflation behind the like the quiet slow rug pull where you do unseen inflation over time.
Yeah, and to your last point there, Josh, I thought it'd be more revolutionary, but it doesn't seem to be gaining much traction. I think certainly like consumer application, if you're looking for traction there, it's definitely not there yet. But in terms of development, particularly on Cashew, it seems to be exploding. It seems like there's people experimenting it and launching new projects every day. It's just,
and same with Fediment, I think. Like, I mean, yeah. Once again, like the Mutiny experience is quite nice. Like it works today with Fediment. But I think a lot of the stuff is still quite early.
Have you been following this Orania stuff at all?
The what?
Orania?
No. What is it?
Looks like there's, I think it's like one of these private state projects that's budding in South Africa. It seems to be getting some traction, some success. Speaking of that, I've seen a lot of people talking about it. ORANIA. Logan, have you been following this at all?
ORANIA, Orania, town in South Africa.
Yeah, but they've launched their own currency. They've got private security forces. I think with all the chaos that's been unfolding in South Africa, not yet.
I think the guy mentioned this.
Yeah, Lord Miles, I think he's down there right now checking it out. But our boy Ronan Miner asked a question. Apparently the guy running it had an AMA earlier today. Logan, you pull this tweet up. Ronan Miner asked him if they're developing a Bitcoin treasury for the long run. Do you hold any Bitcoin for the long-term growth? They're currently diversified with their treasury, different institutions. They own their own banking system, they own municipal government and more. They do have Bitcoin. He says not much yet, but they do have Bitcoin.
No, he answered it with diversified, different institutions, own banking system, own municipal government and more. Not much yet. They're fucked. Not going to make it. Stamp it. Boom, done.
I think it is an interesting case study, though. I need to dive deeper into it. I was hoping that you would have been on top of it, but I'm going to look into this more. But I think
it's important that we didn't lack verification on anything we talk about. It's like open a Wikipedia entry on air to discover what's going on here. But it's been around for a while, it looks like.
Yeah, apparently it's been picking up steam. A lot of people in some of the
1990, it looks like, was the it has to do with internal South African politics.
Yeah.
Like the end of apartheid over there. But like, if you've been trying to run your own country for, you know, I'm probably going to get shit on by this, but you've been trying to run your own country for fucking 30 years and Bitcoin is not like up there in priority list. What's going on?
Maybe just need some people there to push them in the right direction.
Like, all your blue checks are the same. You just cover for each other.
But I mean, it falls into a trend that we've been talking about and speculating about for some time, which is the dissolution of these large nation states and smaller sections. And it seems like the people of Orania are attempting to do that within South Africa. So we'll see. I thought it was interesting.
It's definitely interesting. Thanks for bringing it on our radar. Yeah.
What else is there?
I got nothing. And the comments don't really, they're just, now they're fighting about knots. Green Aware goes, don't throw the terrorist baby out with the bathwater. I thought that was funny.
We're going to mine all the Bitcoin here in the United States.
Someone asked, last RHR ever is going to be the live show in Nashville. And I guess they asked for more context around that. I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, it'll be the last Rabbit Hole recap ever. If you're not there, then you miss it. You miss the last Rabbit Hole recap. I don't want to get into a habit of lying, so it will probably not be the last Rabbit Hole recap. But
We could have fucking ran with this, dude. I had so many ideas for the first show where we're like, we're coming out of retirement.
It's not no recap ever.
You ruined it. It was going to be so good.
Well, maybe they ended, right? Maybe they just like left the stream. I couldn't straight face it to the freaks.
I had so many ideas for the great return a week later.
Yeah, I mean, look, it just comes down to the Bitcoin price. You're never going to know. One of the episodes of Rabbit Hole Recap will be the last Rabbit Hole Recap ever, and that's why you have to come for the live show. And just because one day it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah,
it's not going to end with a bang. It's just going to end with a whimper. It's just like one day, over, done.
The last Rabbit Hole Recap ever is going to be a live stream of goats for 4 hours. And then
goats and other stuff.
Yeah. All right. I just got your battery is low and I don't have my laptop charger here. So maybe that is a sign we should wrap it up.
Okay. Fair enough. Good rip. Love you, Marty. Love you, Logan. Love you, freaks. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.